Please, the meeting is called to order, and we need quiet, not a riot. Otherwise, we can't proceed. Have any questions or any suggestions that you'd like to make today? Or if you have a notion to offer a motion, let's hear what you have to say.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really? Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really? Really?
Tesla's the one that invented the electric car?
No, Benny, the car is just named after him.
Okay, you don't have to be so smug about it. You know, you went to see the movie It because you thought it was about scary IT guys.
A reminder of a bygone era when men were men and women were sex cooks who did laundry.
And now, I'm all over this bitch like a fat kid on a cupcake.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 5th of December.
Tell you what, I don't like these fires in Ventura one little bit.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
This is, this has been the worst fire season I can ever remember in California. But this one, for me, just came out of nowhere and spread so fast. And this is not just homes are threatened. This is dozens and dozens, dozens of homes have already been completely engulfed and thousands of people evacuated. And they got no idea how to stop this one because of all the wind.
Yeah, the Santa Anas are insane right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's super, super windy out there. And I just, if you're up in that area, you should not be listening to this show. You should immediately be on KNX right now because they are giving good information.
I feel like we're giving good information, too.
Really? I don't think we ought to be the go-to source for something like this.
Agree or disagree.
Imagine what it would be like, though, if houses, up the hill from you, up the mountain or down the street or something like that, are on fire and it's just pure chance whether an ember from that fire floats down and lands on your house and you're next. You know what I mean?
I used to live in Chatsworth, and there was a big fire up there, and I went home from work early, and I was in the backyard with a hose.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to help.
I mean, it would help if, I mean, look.
Maybe.
It might.
But I could see on the hill probably, I don't know, maybe 400 yards, 500 yards away, that there was actual flames.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. So then I thought, well, water down the house. Oh, that's stupid. Like, I second guess everything I was doing. I can't imagine being in that position.
I remember as a kid growing up in Ventura County, and there was a huge fire, and my dad's like, I'm not leaving. He was on the roof with a hose, and we've got my brother, my mom, and my dog in the car, and we're driving away. And I'm just sobbing. I'm like, we can't leave Dad here. And he's like, just go. And then we never saw my dad again.
Which, that is a terrible ending.
That took a turn.
That's
but
ugly.
It wound up being fine. But I remember as we're driving away, that, I guess it was Ventura County Fire, screaming at my father to get off the roof and get the hell out of there. Like, what an idiot my dad was. What an idiot.
But you want to...
In the nicest way.
If you can, you want to save something.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just crazy to consider everything being gone like that.
It's real bad.
I heard people on the news this morning who had, 5 minutes to get out.
And
what do you take,
And I think a lot of the fear was because power went out so quickly to not be able to get a hold of people
that
might have been even sleeping, didn't even know this was happening. How terrifying.
Well, we'll not that it'll help, but we'll keep an eye on it, obviously, today and wish the best for all of our listeners and everybody who's up in that area.
We could make this a tiny bit positive if you want to hear a little audio.
I would.
Chuck Henry from Channel 4.
Oh, dear.
Chuck Henry from Channel 4 was covering fires at one point, and they told everybody to leave, all the vans leave, and he was the only one that stayed.
Yeah.
And then the Channel 4 van got burned, and then Chuck Henry did a report.
I feel so badly for the people that lost their possessions. The truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it start. It wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside. And I couldn't see where to go. He just said, hey, Chuck, and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck.
Where are you, Chuck?
Right?
Yeah.
What a dumbass.
That was uplifting. Thank you, Kevin.
A stupid truck with a bunch of equipment,
in it. Yeah, the truck's full. Why did the truck move when the fireman told me to? Hey, do we have time
for the thing?
Okay. Pitbull is in the news.
He's worldwide.
Actually, this is the Pitbull. The Pitbull the dog is not Mr. Worldwide. This is a, I think this is a fun story. A woman in Oceanside. Where's that, Allie? Where's Oceanside?
Southern California, like down by San Diego.
That's what I thought, yeah. Selena Hurtado had her 9-month-old Pitbull, well, she thinks stolen. The dog went missing from the apartment complex where she and her husband live on November the 25th. They went out to feed her. She was just gone. They searched the area. They asked neighbors to be on the lookout. They could not find any hide nor hair of her. They believe that she was probably stolen. Not uncommon, by the way. Pit bulls are one of the breeds that are stolen the most. Well, so then a week later, one of her neighbors says, "Hey, I think I just saw your dog on the news."
What? And like reporting?
On the news. No, not having a job. This was on the CBS. She went to the CBS News, Channel 8 in San Diego. She went to the website, and apparently there had been a story there that involved I want to say it was a high-speed chase, and it involved a guy getting running from a van or something, and he had a dog with him, and the dog ended up getting shot.
What?
Yes, the dog ended up getting shot. So this neighbor saw this lady's dog on the news, said, "Look, just like your dog, had the same distinctive markings on the back." So she went to the website, and sure enough, it was her dog. What are the chances, by the way, that somebody would have seen this lady's dog, recognized it, and then also told her about it, and then it would, in fact, be her dog?
Yeah.
So she called the TV station, and they told her that the dog had been taken to the animal shelter in Carlsbad. She went to the shelter, and she had veterinary records. She had pictures with the dog. She could prove that it was her dog. However, the suspect who had, I assume, stolen the dog and who was arrested after the high-speed chase said, "No, that's my dog."
What?
So now there's some dispute. The dog was not licensed or microchipped, so she can't prove beyond what she shows, you know, with the pictures and stuff. I mean, I would think the pictures would be enough, I would think.
Yeah.
But anyway, the county, apparently in a case like this, because there's no license or microchip, the county is legally required to give the suspect in the high-speed chase 2 weeks to contest the claims, and then after that, it is assumed that this lady will get her dog back. By the way, I would think that the dude who's in jail for the high-speed chase has enough to worry about without claiming a stolen dog as his own, right? And it doesn't sound like he's really going to be around to look after that dog anyway. But so lucky that this lady was able to get her dog back. Such extraordinary circumstances, right?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So she should get it back, though. And she, by the way,
it's a pretty
badass
story, though. Yeah, my dog was in a shooting, you know.
In a shootout, yeah. She's like, and the lady said when she watched the video, she's like, "I can't believe that's my baby. How'd my baby end up in a high-speed chase?"
That's how I roll.
By the way, she has accrued, it says here, hundreds of dollars in medical bills while being treated for her gunshot wound. I would not have expected it would be that expensive when you get shot.
Really?
But apparently it is, yeah. So I don't know if this lady gets her dog back.
Hundreds
now.
Of dollars?
That's what it says. Hundreds of thousands. Really?
Your dog was shot.
Yeah, you take the bullet out.
Plus, they've got to get
some antibiotics.
Have you ever been to a vet?
You ever been shot? Come
on. Yes and then no to answer your respective questions.
You can't do anything for $200. You can get the lice medicine or something, whatever.
What if she gets the dog back and it's got that little teardrop tattoo?
Right?
And it's like, we saw some stuff.
It's wearing Crips or blood colors.
Well, anyway, happy Pitbull story there for y'all.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, everybody take out their thinking caps and rip them up. Then take out your doing caps, because we're going to do something today.
We're going to talk about Bean getting a speeding ticket. Now, I've never heard of this before, but he got it mailed to him. It was a camera speeding ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't running a red light, and Bean's not seen driving the car.
What?
Right?
I mean,
it was the dog. Took Bean's car out.
We will get
into it. The dog is out of control.
But none of us, including me, who got the ticket in the mail, none of us knew that you could get a speeding ticket via a camera.
No idea.
We always thought that was a police officer job. So we got to talk about that and find out if I'm on the hook for it.
Not all letters to Santa are nice.
Mm-mm.
On today's show, we're going to start our top 10 year-end list. This particular one is top 10 Omar intros.
Oh, that should be annoying.
Should be awesome, is what you mean.
Did I say? I meant awesome. I meant awesome. Yeah.
James Roday is going to be on the show about Psycho the movie.
Psycho. Psych.
Wow. Wow. Did I say Psycho?
You did.
It's just Psych.
Okay.
The movie. It's very different. Those are two very different things.
Take two.
James Roday has never seen Psycho. I guess we could ask him.
James Rodea is going to be on the show talking about Psych the movie. You gave a gift to somebody. You gave a gift to somebody else, but it was really for you. Mm-hmm. And it sort of backfired because they probably didn't love it.
Yeah.
We're asking you to tell on yourselves today. So that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. And also, we've got tickets for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and a 55-inch TCL TV. All of that for one winner. Coming up this morning, we will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. Orlando sees alternative rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Our girl Gwen was on The Voice last night singing one of her little Christmas songs with her boyfriend Blake Shelton. It was very good.
Didn't see that last night, but she's so incredibly likable.
She is. They both are.
Yeah, they both
are. They're a delightful couple.
Agreed.
I think I will allow it. Hey, Chip came up with a great idea today, because the Ducks are Southern California's favorite hockey team, right?
Take it easy.
And they have the Minnesota Wild coming to town on Friday night at Honda Center. And as we have been doing a lot lately, we're giving away Ducks tickets plus two hot dogs and two beers for 21 and up. And Chip, I think he came up with a great way to give the tickets away this morning.
Okay, so the Ducks right now, they're in Vegas because they're playing the Knights tonight. Mm-hmm. So I think listeners need to listen for a certain moment with.
Uh-oh. Oh.
In order to hear.
All right, well, let's play it now.
You guys think this has been played enough?
Let's play it now.
Nope.
And then this is a pretty new moment with, by the way. And then
is the new one. Okay.
Yeah. And then the next time, because we're talking about Las Vegas here.
Gotcha.
Then the next time you hear it, be caller 20 and you'll win the tickets for Friday night. So this is what you're going to be listening for.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas aside from hockey? Fan,
what am I,
you
what?
Go.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And who are you on the phone with there?
Getzloff.
That's right.
And he did the right thing and mocked me. Because yes, that did. Made no sense.
All right. So next time you hear that, you be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067 if you're 21 or up. And you'll join Chip at the game on Friday night. All right. Time for our first look at the showbiz news. My turn this time every day. And we're going to start with a mini Bean Makes His Guess here because Spotify, you know, we're starting to get into the end of the year lists. Which I enjoy. I enjoy the look back on the last 12 months. Spotify has released their list of the most streamed artists of 2017.
Despacito.
Well, I don't know that Despacito is an artist, but...
whoever's saying it.
This is not songs, Kevin. This is artists, okay? So these are the artists that have the most streams on Spotify for the entire year.
Okay.
Why don't we let Allie maybe take a guess?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars is not – they only listed the top five. They didn't put the top five out. Bruno Mars is probably not far beyond that, but no, he is not one of the five.
Cisco.
No? Sorry again, Kevin. Okay.
Taylor Swift.
Not in the top five.
What?
Everclear.
No.
Goodness.
Spotify. Popular artists. People who make music that a lot of other people enjoy listening to.
Oh, I have a good guess.
Okay, go ahead.
Kendrick Lamar.
Number four, Kevin.
Yes. Right.
You are correct. Good thinking.
Bieber.
No.
Really?
Hollywood Undead.
All right. Number five on the list is the Chainsmokers.
Sure.
Number four, Kendrick Lamar. Number three, The Weeknd.
Sure.
Oh. Number two, Drake.
Sure.
Number one, won't surprise you when you hear the name, Ed Sheeran.
Oh.
Yeah, we should have known all those.
Sure should have.
Ed is having a pretty good... year right now, obviously, with his music. He also has a new version of his song Perfect out right now with Beyonce. She added a verse to it, and a lot of people are finding that very popular. So he's doing some press to promote it. He was on Entertainment Tonight this week, and he said, now that he's gotten to know Beyonce a little bit, he found out something very fascinating about her. Her email address changes every single week.
Is that right? Now, just so people can't get a hold of her?
Yes.
Or does it?
What does that mean?
What do you mean by that?
Or does she have an email that she just doesn't respond to certain people on, and then people are like, wait, what's happening? Oh, she changes it every week. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Oh, you think she just tells people that?
I would.
Now she's out of having to return any emails.
If I was her, absolutely.
I can't even imagine. Look. I have one email and have trouble keeping up with it, and have trouble keeping up with the password, and have trouble keeping it up, getting it to work on all my devices.
Can you imagine if your email were changing every single week, trying to keep that straight?
But if that is the case, she probably has, like, a team of people doing it.
Oh, yeah.
So she doesn't have to ever worry about that like you do.
She just hands her phone to somebody and they program it or whatever. So I don't know. I thought that was interesting. Meghan Markle is in the news for a couple of interesting reasons. You know, Kevin, you were warned yesterday that you're going to just have to get ready for 6 months of nonstop royal wedding news.
Yep.
Two items came out about Miss Markle, who is the American who will be marrying Prince Harry in England in May. One is, and this won't surprise you, that plastic surgeons are having women coming into their office trying to get Meghan Markle's nose right now.
Really?
Apparently the narrow and well-defined bridge and tip of Meghan's nose are why it is so enviable. Look, people see celebrities on their TV or in their magazines, and they want to look like them, and they want to dress like them, and they want to buy stuff that they buy, and they want to go places that they go. So it's kind of not a surprise that she's so high profile now. People will be saying, wow, she's so pretty, I'd like to look like her, right?
I mean, I assume so, but just because you get the nose she has doesn't mean you're going to look anything like her. Right? She's more than a nose.
Right. Cool if she was.
She is more than a nose. That is a delightful Twitter update.
And the other story, Kevin, is actually one that I think you are going to enjoy. One of the things that she will do before she marries Prince Harry is she will get trained on how to escape being held hostage. She will undergo military training from the British Special Air Service on how to deal with a hostage situation. This is something
because those royals, man, they get kidnapped like every other week.
Constant.
Well, they are certainly targets, by the way. And sure. Let me just tell you, while you mock, Princess Diana went through this program. Kate went through this program as well. Her hostage training will last about a week. It will teach her techniques on how to transmit a distress signal if she's being held against her will, if the captors have her record a video. So they're going to teach her how to, like, blink out an SOS or some sort of information as to where she's being held or something like that. She'll be taught to master micro expressions, keywords, and other signals to let either her family or law enforcement know if she's under duress from captors. She'll be taught how to get out of restraints like duct tape and zip ties.
Holy crap.
That's terrifying.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I don't want to join that family if I have to do all that.
No, I am out.
I mean, obviously, you hope you're never going to need any of this, but it makes sense that they would at least run it by you so that you're not completely ill-prepared in the case that somebody grabs you from the back of a limo and kidnaps you or something.
All those limo kidnappings.
Right? Where they grab you from the back of the limo?
Well, I'm just saying she's getting in and out of cars all the time, and she would be a likely target. I don't know. I just thought that, I mean, that's not exactly something you would expect to consider when somebody asks you to marry, is what if I get kidnapped one day because of this?
Yeah, true.
But I think it's interesting that they have a program in place. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Amy Acker is 41 years old today. You know her from the X-Men TV show, The Gifted, if you've seen her. She's delightful. Jessica Perret also celebrating a birthday today. She was Mrs. Don Draper on Mad Men. She is 37 years old. Race car driver Frankie Muniz, who used to act, I'm told, is 32. And legendary early rock and roller Little Richard, believe it or not, still alive at 85. And that's this hour's showbiz news.
That, of course, is The Killers playing the Acoustic Christmas, which is this Saturday and Sunday. We've got your chance to win tickets to both and a brand new 55 TCL TV coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Not only that, you're still listening to win Ducks tickets for Friday night with The Wild in town. All you have to do is be caller 20 when you hear Kevin's Moment with Ryan Getzlaff. Really a great interview moment in the history of the show.
Yeah.
You know, we should do, you know, we're starting our top tens of the year today with the top 10 Omar intros later on. We should do top 10 interview questions of the year. That would be a fun one, too, because you and I have both contributed some really classic ones over the course of the past 12 months.
I'm not sure we cataloged them, though, so that may be impossible.
Yeah, maybe
as
for next year.
As much as I'd like to.
Maybe for next year, because there are times where you ask a question and before the last word is out of your mouth, you realize how dumb it was.
Sure.
Guys, I need a little help from the Kevin and Bean listeners here. Maybe your friend Sweet James Burgerter maybe could weigh in on this too, Kevin, because I was so surprised when I got a letter in the mail a couple of days ago from the City of New Orleans Photo Safety Program. This is the organization that runs the traffic cameras. They're based in Phoenix, Arizona. They got contracts with cities all over the country. And I opened up the envelope, and I was expecting it to show that I had at some point inadvertently run a red light.
Right. And you look at the picture, and it's just you and your stupid face there, and you're just like, what an idiot. I just look so dumb.
You're going through an intersection, and you're thinking, I don't even remember that. How on earth is this going to cost me $100?
Well, I'll never wear that shirt again.
Right.
That color looks terrible on me. Imagine my surprise, though, when I got into the paperwork and I realized that that is not what they were sending me at all. The photo safety program was sending me a speeding ticket. And I have more questions than answers at this point, because how does a camera send me a speeding ticket?
I didn't know that was a deal, that was a thing.
I have never heard of it before. Violates the following city code. Speeding over authorized limit. Posted speed was 30. My actual speed, says the computer robot camera,
right,
was 41. But what does it know?
Man.
That's kind of a whack ticket anyway.
And there is a photograph, Kevin. You mentioned seeing the photo of yourself going through the intersection. By the way, if you have any familiarity whatsoever with photo cameras sending you speeding tickets and the legality of such, I'd love to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Okay, so there are photographs included in the paperwork that was sent to me.
Okay.
They show my license plate, a close-up. Yep, that's me. That's my car. Then they show an image of the automobile going down the road from the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show another photo of the automobile going down the road from the rear from a further angle. So,
are you in it?
At no point in any of these photographs am I seen behind the wheel.
Huh.
Well, you were driving.
No.
Well, case closed.
First of all, my car was certainly stolen on the morning of November 12th. I mean, I was just lucky that whoever stole it brought it right back and parked it out in front of my house. So it was there when I got up. But, I mean, that could have happened, right?
I mean, this is so bizarre, because if they can't prove – can't you beat radar tickets anyway? Even if a cop has one and pulls you over, aren't there things you can do where you say it's not calibrated properly? Or...
Yes. You can certainly go to court and you can argue all those. Usually don't police officers have their ducks in a row pretty much in terms of having the proper certification and the proper inspections? And they usually can, you know, can and will testify that everything went according to law and you were – you know. It was an accurate reading.
I don't know. We always talk about things like this, and we always come to an answer, and then I always forget in between
right.
when we talk about it, when we're talking about it again.
But if you are going to contest that,
yes,
they can't suddenly have a picture of you somewhere that you haven't seen, right?
Yeah, what would they say if I walked in and said, I wasn't driving that morning?
Right.
I mean, isn't the burden of proof on them to prove that I was? And if I say I wasn't, they don't have anything else.
All right, let's say I'm driving your car.
Okay.
And I get a speeding ticket. Uh-huh. Does that go to me or you?
I mean...
It goes to him. It's whoever
it goes
the car
to Bean
is insured.
Or me.
It's whoever's it's car it is.
Whoever's
yeah,
car is insured.
So I could drive Bean's car and I could go 100 and get away with it? And Bean would get in trouble?
I feel like if it didn't show your face.
That's awesome. I need to borrow some people's cars.
Right, exactly. And by the way, let me say this before we go to Mark here on line 4. Let me say that there is, because I was trying to figure out how this whole process is computerized. On the ticket that I received in the mail, there is the name and badge number of a New Orleans Police Department police officer.
Right.
So does that mean that there was a cop there who witnessed it?
I doubt it.
So why wouldn't he have just pulled me over?
Because they could probably do 15 tickets in the amount of time it would take them to pull you over if they're putting them through the mail.
I'm so confused by the whole thing. And look, I'm probably guilty, and
but
I
let's
probably
face it, you're guilty.
Will just pay the $110.
Wow,
by the way,
it's a shakedown.
It is a shakedown. But I do have some questions about how something like this works. So that's why we wanted to throw it open to the audience, because they've tried to get out of everything. 1-800-520-1067. Can they put Mark on hold?
Yeah, I got him.
Okay, you got him. All right. Mark, hi.
Hey, guys.
You got one of these tickets?
I did. I was vacationing in New Orleans, and we got back, you know, whatever it was, a few weeks or a month later, got the same ticket that Bean's talking about, but it was, of course, on a rental car, because we didn't have our own vehicle.
Beautiful.
We didn't drive there. So we got the ticket in the mail, and it was so sketchy. There was no picture of me or my wife. It was just this vehicle, and because it was a rental car, I just said, no way, F this, I'm not paying that. You can forget it. So I just didn't bother. We tried calling and getting more information. It was all very sketchy. Like Bean said, it was a shakedown, but it is. It's like $110 in California. Mm-hmm. It's like $800.
What?
Yeah. What?
So it's like, you know, you sit there and you go, well, it's $110. I might as well just pay it to go away because it's not that big of a deal. But on principle, I just said no way.
Let me ask you, in your situation, Mark, and I always understood that if you got a ticket or ran a toll booth or whatever on a rental car, that the rental car would just charge you for it because they get charged it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It never came back around. I mean, obviously, we had settled up with the rental car people when we came back from our vacation, so that was sort of over and done with. Haven't heard about it since, but I'm staying out of the state of Louisiana.
That's right, so you're avoiding the entire state. Okay.
So isn't that interesting that Mark just ignored it and it never came back to haunt him? That's interesting. Thank you very much for the call, sir. We appreciate that. All right, let's talk to Sarah. She's in Corona. She apparently works in this industry, so maybe she can shed some light on it.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. I was hearing you talk about issuing violations.
Yes.
And how they find you and if it's legal or not.
Yep. Yes, this is, again, for folks just joining us, this is a camera photo, but not for running a red light, for speeding. What do you know about those, Sarah?
I personally work for a toll road, so anybody that goes through our lanes without a valid account with us, we basically review their license plate in the picture that the cameras take for us,
mm-hmm.
and we go in the DMV, we input their license plate, and we find out where they live, if they sold their car, anything in that matter about that car, and it is legal, perfectly legal, and CHP works with us, and...
Okay, but Sarah, what about the fact that there's no photograph of me behind the wheel? Can't I just argue I wasn't driving that morning?
But chances are, since you can say, because we have people that say, oh, well, I don't own that car anymore, or my aunt was driving that car,
right.
And we'll still say, well, you own the vehicle, so you are liable for anything that happens on this vehicle.
I wonder if that's true. Am I responsible for how somebody else drives if they borrow my car? That's an interesting question. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, Sarah. By the way, she's one of the bad ones. She's one of the ticket givers.
She is. All right, so, Kevin, I'm coming to you for advice now. What should I do with this $110 ticket?
Ignore it.
Psych, the movie, you guys, is on TV. I should have looked. A couple days.
We'll wait.
I think.
Thursday.
I don't remember. It's coming up this week, though.
Thursday.
Thursday night, thank you. Psych, the movie, the return of the show that we all love. James Rodet, who co-writes and co-stars in the movie, joins us later on this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Allie, you brought up something interesting, which is kids' letters to Santa sometimes. Kids are dicks, right? That's our takeaway
sometimes.
Here.
I don't think that's the takeaway. For some of these that I'm about to read, but...
I was thinking about this. I was watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special though over the weekend, as I do every year, and I loved it, and it's great, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
terrible, but go ahead.
And Sally is shaking down Santa. If you recall, her letter to Santa is just, hey, just send me lots of 10s and 20s. I just want it in cash this year.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, I bet kids are greedy little pigs.
Wow. I would like to talk, at another time, I would like to talk to people who have the unfortunate job of playing Santa. Because that has to suck if you're a mall Santa or something.
Oh, a mall Santa, yeah. Because there's only one Santa in the
right.
North Pole, so he needs people in different areas to play him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, good work.
You're welcome.
Nice cover.
So what'd you find out about letters to Santa?
Well, I saw this letter to Santa yesterday that was posted, and it led me down a deep dive. Let me just read this one to you. It was posted online by a woman named Sarah McCammon, and she works for NPR. And she said, my 6-year-old Santa skeptic was told to write a letter to Santa at school. So he did. She posted his letter. Dear Santa, I'm only doing this for class. I know your naughty list is empty. I know your good list is empty. And your life is empty. You don't know the trouble I've had in my life. Goodbye. Love, I'm not telling you my name. He doesn't have to. He knows your name.
He doesn't understand Santa.
He doesn't get it, this kid. So I read that and laughed so hard.
That's awesome.
At how somewhat threatening he was. And I thought, what are some other letters to Santa that have been posted online? How deep do they go into the psyche of these children?
Right.
So here I have for you one that's a lot like mine that I sent every year.
You sent the same one every year?
Asking
you wrote to
Santa for a pony. But
and when will you stop doing that?
Maybe 2020.
Okay.
But this child, maybe it took the right course, be a little threatening. Dear Santa, you better bring my pony this year or there will be consequences.
Oh,
my God. I mean, ridiculous. Next up, dear Santa, how are you? Well, enough chit-chat. Let's get down to business. And then the kid lists all the things that he or she wants. Unbelievable.
I respect that because that is appreciative of how busy Santa is this time of year.
Exactly.
Don't waste his time with, hey, how you doing?
That is true. Just get right to it. Enough chit-chat.
Right?
Okay. This kid just wanted to make Santa chuckle. Santa, I just wanted you to know, I love big butts and I cannot lie. That's just what I wanted you to know. And that's it. That's all he wrote in the letter.
That's awesome.
And then this kid is clearly all about 2017. Dear Santa, please text my dad. He has my whole list. I love you. Unbelievable.
I don't have the time to sit down and write out a list of things I want.
Listen, he's got it. Just, you know him. He knows you. Just get to it. This one, this kid's just sick of being a kid. Dear Santa, I wanted to tell you that I'm fine. I don't know, but if you could turn me possibly into a dragon, please, or a pet dragon, either one will do, though I would like it if you could make me turn into a dragon. P.S. Have a happy Valentine's Day. So this kid wrote far in advance, Santa would be able to get this done.
It takes a lot of planning to turn a kid into a dragon.
Absolutely.
I wasn't even aware that was something that Santa offered.
I know. Let's see if you can figure out maybe where this kid is coming from politically.
Okay. Oh, no.
All I want for Christmas is peace and a job for my daddy. I'm a big boy and I don't want any toys. Mommy said you're not going to come to my house this year because Obama got elected again.
Lord. Come on. Why would a mom tell her kid that?
Well, he's probably old enough to know the truth, Kevin. That's why.
Come on.
And then flip side. Dear Santa, I've got a great idea. On Christmas, when you're in everyone's house, you could take all the guns and put them in your sack and hide them at the North Pole. And then no one would kill anyone anymore in the world. Thank you.
That's a lot of work for Santa.
I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. And then finally, let's hope this kid gets a puppy, because he needs some love.
Oh, no.
Dear Santa, I want you to know that I want a puppy. And you're fat. You're not alive. You're fat and stupid. Riley. Holy crap with these kids. I now want children.
So he's fat and not alive?
And stupid. Just stupid. And by the way, S-T-U-P-E-D, which I love this kid.
Who's Riley. Now, Riley?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What are you with Vegas, aside from hockey? Fan,
what am I,
you
what?
Go.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Fan, you go.
Fan, you
I mean,
go.
You used a lot of the right words. You just put them in an unusual order.
It's a word jumble.
That's all it is.
Right.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. It is 6:54. Time for another look at the showbiz news. Allie, I think it's your turn.
All right. Were you guys following this Danny Masterson Netflix story at all yesterday?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit, yeah.
It took quite a few twists and turns. In case you don't know, police are investigating four separate women's claims that Danny Masterson raped them in the early 2000s.
Now, this is the guy from That 70s Show.
Yes.
Who now is on a Netflix series called The Ranch.
Yes.
Right.
And a lot of people have been questioning, Netflix reacted so swiftly to the Kevin Spacey allegations, decided he's done. We believe his accusers, done. You're gone. It was so quick. And people are wondering, well, why isn't this happening with Danny Masterson? So this happened at a kid's soccer game. A woman walked up to the coach of the other team.
Okay.
And by the way, her husband is the coach of the team they were playing. So she walked up to the coach and said basically that same thing. Why aren't you guys reacting quicker with this Danny Masterson situation? To which he responded, and there's also a witness that will corroborate her claim, said Netflix takes sexual misconduct allegations seriously, but that we don't believe them.
We don't believe the women?
The women. To which this woman, whose daughter was playing in the soccer game, said, well, I'm one of them. She is one of the four women that is accusing Danny Masterson. awful situation. She starts to cry, just bad situation altogether. So cut to later, that man's wife decided to send an email to her husband, the woman who was raped, husband, and said, "Your wife has done a terrible thing to a great guy. I hope you know that. I'm just so sad she did this." It goes on about how she baited him at a soccer game. He was caught completely off guard and knows nothing of this situation, and what your wife did to him is inexcusable. I hope you know the heartache your family has now caused to ours. This woman is sending this to an alleged rape victim's husband. You don't know the heartache that her husband felt on that soccer field. Unbelievable situation. Cut to this morning.
Yes.
Danny Masterson has been ousted from the Netflix show The Ranch. His last day of filming on the program took place yesterday, and this is the quote from a Netflix spokesman. "As a result of ongoing discussions, Netflix and the producers have written Danny Masterson out of The Ranch. Yesterday was his last day on the show, and production will resume in early 2018 without him." So who knows how much of what happened yesterday made Netflix go, "Oh, shoot. We're not looking great right now.
Yeah.
Let's cut bait right now." Bad situation all around.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No. What about seeing U2 or Sting play at, I don't know, one of the most iconic places in the world? Well, the newly appointed director of Italy's most famous monument, the Colosseum, wants to open it up to rock concerts, huge-scale rock concerts like a U2.
Does it have a floor even?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Isn't this the place where Foo Fighters filmed their special?
No,
that was
Greece.
Acropolis, right?
Yeah. Oh, Acropolis. Okay.
Yeah. She says, "I want the Colosseum to return to its original function, a place frequented by ordinary people, a place where Romans can watch spectacles to wander around as people did during the time of the emperors." The answer to your question.
Yeah.
Musicians would perform on a section of wooden boarding that covers up what was once the floor of the Colosseum, where sand soaked up the blood of fallen gladiators and wild animals that were slaughtered in elaborately staged hunts.
That sounds
terrible. Holy crap. I read that and was like, I'm in. Whoa.
Where are the people that are going to watch the show?
Oh, it's a big seated area all around.
I didn't know that it was even usable.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They do tours there all the time. And apparently, concerts have been held at the Colosseum before. The latest was in September, where the unlikely combo of Andrea Bocelli, Elton John, and Steven Tyler performed for charity. So I assume theirs wasn't, you know, a grand-scale event, which is what this newly appointed director wants it to be. But can you imagine?
That would be so weird.
That would be incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, weird stuff happening over on the set of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I don't like this at all.
No. Director Bryan Singer has been fired from the Queen biopic. This all happened yesterday, and the Hollywood Reporter says the studio's decision came because of, quote, an escalating clash between Singer and actor Rami Malek.
Oh.
He plays Freddie Mercury. Singer apparently never showed up several times, including last Friday after the Thanksgiving break, causing the film's production to be shut down in London. And Bryan Singer released a statement saying, "I had to go home. There's matters in my family concerning my parents health-wise, blah, blah, blah." But apparently him and Mr. Malek were constantly clashing on set. And from what I was seeing yesterday, people were like, "He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in Hollywood. For him to complain about anything had to be pretty, pretty big stuff." Mm. But the studio is expected to name a new director within the next few days.
It's becoming a trend, by the way. It seems
sure
like
it is.
Where you get directors fired, then have somebody else come in and finish up the picture.
Clean it up, yeah.
Like Ron Howard on the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, that whole situation and all of the past problems, in quotes, that Bryan Singer has had makes you kind of wonder what the whole situation really is.
Maybe they were fighting over this version of this song.
Yeah.
I hope that makes the movie.
And the finale.
Yeah.
By the way, this has another 3 minutes and a half.
I think we're good.
I'm down for listening to the whole thing.
It's, we're good. It's hard to get the rights to that song, so I understand how that could cause some problems on the set. Hey, all of these stars were born today. December the 5th, Frankie Muniz is 32. Jessica Parra is 37. Amy Acker, 41. And Little Richard is 85. I'm Ellie McKay with your showbiz.
Two more chances for you to win coming up between now and the end of the show to join us this weekend for the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2017, Saturday and Sunday at the Forum. Sold out. Got a chance in the 8 o'clock hour and another in the 9 o'clock hour. You know, it's the 5th of December now. We're getting very near to the end of the year, and we start to take a look back on the year that was. I'm very excited about some of our top tens that we have coming up. No more so than this one, because, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend DJ Omar Khan back in studio.
Good morning.
Omar has one of the strangest jobs in radio.
It is weird.
And that is that we come to him with the dumbest idea ever for a game in many cases or a feature that we want to do. And we say, Omar, whip up an intro for us.
Yeah. Make an intro. Like not too long ago, we did Morrissey or Morris No.
Absolutely. And I had to come up with something
and
for that.
It's like, okay, you go do your thing.
Yeah, go Bon yes or Bon no. Go. you know. So.
And how tough is this for you, O? Or is it? Are you at the point now where you've done so many of them that it's just like riding a bike? Or do you really struggle sometimes with them?
So, for the most part, it's like riding a bike now. I kind of started getting in my groove maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Before that, I would sweat. I would have nightmares. Oh, yeah.
Then
totally.
You stopped caring.
Then I stopped caring, and then it was all good.
It's all good.
So, that has a lot to do with I'm not kidding you. Because I would overthink it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So once I start kind of like letting go and just kind of like letting it marinate in my back, in the back of my head, I would come up with something. And it hasn't failed yet. Yeah. And I have a couple of examples that I'm not kidding you. I wake up in the morning and I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. The morning of, like the game's going to be played in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So I wake up at 3 in the morning. I was like, oh, the game's at 6:30. I know what I'm going to do now.
And you're just like singing it in your car.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
So bizarre.
I'll hit Spotify and I was like, can I parody this? And sure enough, it'll work.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love hearing this behind the scenes. So what have you come up with now?
Well, first, this is the top 10 Omar intros of 2017. The top 10 Omar intros.
You put a little more work into your stuff than you do ours. Is that true?
I think so, yes. Right. Absolutely.
Could have done without the fart, though.
At number 10, we did a game called Famous Ella's for Coachella Weekend 2 tickets.
Right.
And, of course, you guys made me do Rihanna's Umbrella.
Sure.
Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah. Right.
So here's me doing my best Riri impression.
You'll see Radiohead at Lady Gaga! It's a time you'll remember forever. Come on, win some tickets for Coachella.
What I like best about Omar being the guy who does these is he really can't sing.
Yeah, for the most part. But, you know, there's some that I do not too bad. This one, we did Gotta Have Cape. And I Gotta Have Cape. And it was for Lumineer tickets, but we're doing questions about capes. So I'm
like
not sure.
Superheroes?
I have
it. Sounds like a superhero contest.
Were they playing Cape Town? Was that it?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what
that's
it
still
is.
Still a terrible idea.
But here's my best George Michael.
Baby, you wanna see the Lumineers? Cause they are music to your ears. Well, I think we could help. Maybe you could answer a question about a cape. Come on and don't you hesitate. It's up to you. Cause you gotta have cape, a cape, a cape.
Yeah.
And that's number 9?
That's number 8. That is number 9. At number 8, we have Bon Yes or Bon No. And this is tickets to the U2 Experience. They just came out with a record. And this was for an opportunity to listen to the new record with the band.
Right.
So we decided to do this. And I think my background singers on this were ultimately what won me over. And that's why it came in at number 8.
Bon Yes or Bon No. Experience. Oh, Bon, no. Oh, oh. Bon, yes, or Bon, no, no.
At number 7, we were giving away tickets to Disneyland and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So I came up with this for Disney Princess Hits.
We got tickets to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm... And you can score your tickets to this place on Earth 2. You have to know your Disney Princess Hits. You gotta know Disney Princess Hits. You gotta know.
You guys get it.
At number 6, we were giving away tickets to the Weenie Roast, 4th row, and we named this game Foreplay, and I decided to get a little sexy with it, so this is what I came up with.
Nope.
Weenie Roast is what you want, baby. The seats in the 4th row, come work for them. Don't be lazy. Yeah. Come on, you wanna get into my fiesta? It's time to get a little dirty. And that's the foreplay. We're talking foreplay, baby.
I do not need to see you rubbing your nipples while playing that.
No. He was getting down.
If you don't mind.
Maybe I'll make a music video to that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
At number 5, we were giving away tickets to WWE, and we decided to play the theme songs for each wrestler, and we called it Game of Themes.
Tickets to WWE. Game of Themes. Game of Themes. Game of Themes. Just guess the wrestler's name.
A little Hulk.
I like it. Little Hulk in that.
Take a look at the top 10 Omar intros for the year.
At number 4, this is probably my favorite bit of the year. It's a new bit, and I came up with the intro for Great News, and that's why this comes in at number 4.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
Love that one.
For that one, I actually tried to do like a rap version. And like,
do you have that?
No, I don't have that. Yeah, this was probably the third try. And I came up with that. Yeah,
because I love that one. Yeah. That's great.
Thank you very much. I was trying to come up with something and I was just not happy. And I just typed in, I have this program where you just type in different genres. And I was like, let me just type in jazz and see what I hear. And I heard this and it really spoke to me and it just, it just kind of flowed. Number 3, we did a game for the pay-per-view for Mayweather and McGregor earlier this year. And I just yelled out the name, Punch Out! And we called it Punch Out, and that's the only reason we call this, and I think it's a very funny intro.
Aww, Punch Out! Boxing! Movies! Punch Out! Punch Out! Punch Out! Punch Out!
Strong.
That's funny. So you know how we're talking about the things that come to me when I wake up?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect example of that. So we were doing a game for USC. Know Your Alumni is what you guys told me to come do the intro for.
Okay.
And it was basically trivia of USC alumni.
Right.
So I couldn't come up with anything. I was like, Know Your Alumni, that's tough. And I wake up and I'm like, we got to parody Afromance because they got high.
Obviously.
Know Your Alumni. I don't know how I came up with that. And I Spotify'd it in bed. I was like, this will work. Yeah.
I wish you guys could see Omar's eyes right now. It's magic. He's describing magic.
Because that one, specifically this year, I was having so much trouble with. I couldn't come up with anything. And I think it turned out pretty good.
We're talking USC football. Know Your Alumni. You want to go see a game? Know Your Alumni. To win the ticks, call up. And this is why.
Why, man?
Know Your Alumni. Yeah. Know Your Alumni. Uh-huh. Know Your Alumni.
That's pretty good.
You know there's an A before alumni, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
How many, before we hear number one, Omar, how many little intro songs did you do for us in 2017? Do you
probably
know?
Probably around, I have 50, but I do probably around 60 because I don't save all of them. Some of them are like very quick and I forget to save them. Mm-hmm. So probably around 60.
Around 60.
Yeah. Right. Those are just intros for games, not like, you know, little alley stabbers or, you know, whatever. These are just intros for games. At number one, we actually have never played on the Kevin and Bean show. It was actually from the B Team podcast.
Ah.
But I'm not kidding you. It is mind blowing for people to sing this back to me. They sing this back to me when they meet me, or they call the Afro line and sing it. And when I get emails from the B Team, they'll write "squish" because it has a little sound effect, or they'll say "baby" because that's part of the song. So that comes in at number one. It's from the B Team podcast. You can actually check out the B Team podcast wherever you get your podcast. And this is the intro.
Come along now, take a ride with the B Team. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B Team. Yeah! The B Team. The B Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B Team. Baby!
I feel like reading a lot of sexy Omar.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. You know, maybe I have to bring out more sexy in 2018.
Let's give it up for DJ Omar Khan, guys. Another great year of great work. Thanks, O.
Thanks, man.
The top 10 Omar intros.
All right, I just asked Beer Mug to join us in studio. He's going to help us get into this phone topic.
What a surprise.
I think a lot of our, I think a lot of our listeners will have experience with this. Look, there's no shame in trying, is what I say. Right, Kevin?
I'm sorry?
There's no shame in trying. You're on the hook to give a gift for Christmas or a birthday.
Most people don't feel like they're on the hook, but go ahead.
You're kind of forced to. You don't really want to. I think we all agree on that. So what you do is you come up with the perfect gift to give to this person, except it's really for you. So that way you get a little something out of it, right?
Right.
It's if you go to the Urban Dictionary, you will see that this is called a Homer Simpson gift. That's what this is called, a Homer Simpson gift. And that's based on the episode of The Simpsons where Homer decided to gift his lovely wife Marge with a bowling ball with his name on it.
Hold on now. Your mother hasn't opened my present yet.
All right, so they open it and it's a bowling ball.
Beauty, isn't she?
Well, it's hard for me to judge, since I've never bowled in my life.
Well, if you don't want it, I know someone who does.
So it's a bowling ball with Homer's name on it, which is, I don't know, he's not going to get away with making that look like it was ever for Marge, especially since she doesn't bowl. But that's going to be the topic on the table as we're all thinking about gifts this time of year. What's the Homer Simpson gift that you've given? You gave it to someone else, but it was really for you, and it backfired.
Yeah, we're asking you to tell on yourself, basically.
Yes, that's right. They saw right through what you tried to do in getting actually a gift for yourself. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about that. And I think it'd be okay to hear from the person who got the gift and was ticked off about it, too, right?
Sure.
Okay. Beer Mug, thank you for joining us. What happened?
You guys remember when K-Rock was giving us the option to buy those really fancy Letterman's jackets, you know, with the leather sleeves and the embroidery on the back? Well, I had ordered one. And it was very nice, very large, and you automatically, every one of you jumped on me and said, why would you order a K-Rock jacket for yourself? I said, it's not for me, it's for my mom.
And it's for your mom.
Immediately you guys were like, what? But it's like, it's a double XL, and why would you get a jacket for your mom?
Your mom is tiny.
On Christmas, why would you just get a jacket? And I said, well, because my mom is a fan of jackets.
Okay. You did say that.
And I did say that, and you guys
mocked you endlessly.
Mocked me endlessly, and I tried to keep it going and say, oh, no, it's really for her. But, yeah, it was really for me.
You knew that she wouldn't want it.
Yeah.
And so
and it would be in her house, and you would be able to wear it.
So you took it off her hands.
Yeah.
So you're being considerate, in my opinion.
Okay. By the way, ask me how many times I've worn it.
How many times have you worn it?
Absolutely none.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
why?
Well, worth it.
I don't know. I thought that's one. I thought it was like just a collector's item. It would be like a cool collector's item to have.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
You make good decisions. That's what I know.
All right. So you bought a gift for someone else, but it was really for you, and it backfired on you. That's the topic. You can text us if you can't get to the phones at 1-800-520-1067, or you can give us a call on that same number, and we'll take your calls. Call.
Try it again.
Take your calls on the air next, right after this.
All right. Just ahead of the offspring, let's take one call, and let's make it Sarah from Norwalk. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Allie.
How are you? Sarah, we're talking about you buy a gift for somebody, but it's really for you, and then you get busted on it. Were you the giver or the recipient in this case?
No, I was the giver.
All right.
Okay.
So, my boyfriend's very into video games, as most gentlemen are, and I bought him the PlayStation microphone wireless headset. And so he thought it was super cool. He never uses it for the microphone purposes. So I use it. When I go to sleep, I tell him to put his headphones on so I can't hear anything. I go to sleep very early. I wake up early for work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like a noise cancellation where I can't hear him play.
I'm not sure this qualifies, but I feel like that's...
I think that's good work.
That's good work on your part.
Because it sounds like a win-win.
It's a gift for him, and it's also a gift for you.
Exactly.
We approve. We are going to allow it. Thank you, Sarah.
Well done.
Dara writes in on our topic of buying people gifts that are really for you. My husband is a chef, and every year I get him cooking appliances so that I can keep being fancy at home.
So jealous.
Does he want it, though? If he wants it, fine.
It doesn't say here, but I see what she's trying to do. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Miguel is up next here. He's from Granada Hills. He's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin and Bean?
Good, thank
you. Morning, Ellie.
Hey.
You gave or received a gift for someone else?
I received the worst gift possible for my brother.
What was it?
It was an all-inclusive trip down to Cancun.
Okay.
And
wow.
At the time, I was in the military, in the Marine Corps, and he knew I was deploying to Iraq for the second time, so there was a time limit on that inclusive trip, so he went ahead and took it.
Without you?
Okay, hold on. He knew your schedule as a Marine, that you were going to be fighting for the United States of America, and he bought you a trip to Cancun that you couldn't use, so he did?
Correct.
Oh. Miguel.
Yeah.
How's he going to come at you like that?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right?
What is wrong with your brother?
He's pretty slick about it, so he made it seem like a great gift in front of the whole family.
Really? Did you ever did you ever confront him and just have a conversation and go, hey, dude, couldn't use that. How about something else?
Yeah, I did, but, what can you do? So it's family.
Well, you have a rifle. There's a lot you can do, Miguel.
I don't think that's the answer.
Thank you for the call, sir. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Blake, Los Angeles, line 1 on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Homer Simpson gifts, the Urban Dictionary definition of you give somebody a present, but it's really for you. Blake, how about you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
thank
Kevin.
You.
Hey, Bean.
Hi.
Hey, Ali. Hey, Omar.
Okay.
All right. So, by the way, I love your top 10, Omar. Anyways, I'm really addicted to World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. I play it all the time, and it's been like.
It's hard to hear because your social skills sound really developed.
Bean, let him speak.
Let him talk.
Go ahead, Blake.
Hi, guys. No. Thank you, Allie. Anyways, so I play constantly, and my girlfriend's been trying to get me off the game.
Right.
She's, like, doing everything she can to get me off the game. Right. So I thought to myself, hey, instead of me getting off the game, why don't I have her play the game with me? That way she'll let me play. So the gift, I got her a subscription to the game, and she's like, what? And I was like, dude, now we can play together. And she's like, oh, my God.
She saw right through you,
Blake. This is not
what
I wanted at all.
Yeah.
You're not together now, right? You're not together now, right?
No, we still are. We actually got engaged.
Wow, are you lucky.
I know. She learned to tolerate it. She basically just ignores me now.
Thank you for the call, Blake. We appreciate you listening, sir. Let's go to Veronica Whittier, line 6, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Veronica.
Hey, Veronica. Good morning.
So you received or gave?
I gave and then I received it back.
I'm just saying, we're talking about gifts. We know what we're talking about.
All right.
Okay. So what happened?
I give my mom my favorite perfume because that's on Christmas. Before Valentine's Day, she has a temper tantrum, puts it back on my front step with a nasty note, and I have nice perfume.
There you go.
I've done it with pajamas. I've done it with a robe. I've done it with slippers, whatever I want. And I know I don't want it to get wasted, and I'm going to get it back.
I mean, look, it sounds like it's working for her, doesn't it?
That all sounds great, except for why is she throwing a temper tantrum every January, like clockwork?
Oh, because she's a Latin mom.
Okay.
All right. So you just buy something you know will come right back to you.
Exactly.
Right. I approve.
Sounds like it's working. All right, let's do, do we have time for one more? Let's do one more. Let's make it Lori. How about Lori Ventura, line three?
Hey, Lori.
Hello, how are you guys?
We are good, thank you.
You're in Ventura. You're nowhere near the fires, I hope.
I am very, very near the fire.
Oh, no.
What the hell are you doing with this little dog and pony show today? Shouldn't you be out hosing down your driveway or something?
Right. I'm not a homeowner. I live by the beach. We're a little safe.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck. Fingers crossed for all of our listeners up there. What's the Homer gift you want to tell us about?
So my then-boyfriend, now estranged husband, had been dropping hints that he was going to get me an engagement ring, and he had all of our friends and family over for Christmas, and it was supposed to be this big, like, proposal in front of everybody, and he gave me a laptop so that he could play video games.
Oh,
and I actually named it Homer and set the password on it as Homer. and he totally didn't get why I kept calling it Homer. And I was like, dude, I don't even play video games. And he's like, this one's got the souped up engine so you can play all the blah, blah, blah.
Why would he give you all the hints that he was going to propose? Why would he do that?
Savage. It was just a terrible, horrible move. Okay.
But you're no longer together, correct?
No.
All right.
No.
Excellent. Good for you. Thank you, Laura.
All right.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. We have a pair of passes to the Netflix world premiere and fan experience for Bright at the Village Theater in Westwood, December 13th. This is a movie starring Will Smith that is going to be debuted on Netflix, not in theaters.
Wow.
Seems like a huge name and a huge movie to do that with.
For sure.
Netflix has so much money.
They do. They have all money.
All the money.
So we'll take five callers right now. The first five callers, 1-800-520-1067. They are having a world premiere. It's going to be at the Village Theater in Westwood, December 13th. And you can be there with the stars if you're one of the first five callers right now through to the Kevin and Bean Show. My turn to look at showbiz. I am happy to report that Jimmy Kimmel's son had surgery, and it was successful.
Aww.
I don't know if you remember, in April, they had Billy, and they announced that 3 days old, he underwent surgery at Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Three days. Aww. Can you imagine how scary? Basically, the pulmonary valve was completely blocked, and he has a hole in the wall between the left and right side of his heart.
Oh,
was Billy a smoker, does it say?
He was born kind of unless he was smoking in the womb. No,
just seems kind of young to be having blocked arteries. I'm just worried. Does he eat a lot of fatty foods?
And they knew that he was going to have further surgeries. And this one was scheduled a couple of weeks ago, but he came down with a cold, so he couldn't have the surgery. Yesterday morning, he did have the surgery, and it was successful. And he's
awesome.
The cutest smiling little kid you've ever seen. And so Jimmy is taking the rest of the week off. To be with his son while he recovers. And he's got some pretty good guest hosts this week.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt was last night. Tracy Ellis Ross is tonight. Neil Patrick Harris is tomorrow night. And Melissa McCarthy.
Come on.
It's Thursday night.
Amazing.
So that's pretty cool. And it's fun to see all of these people who you know Jimmy is friends with to come out and support him as he takes time with his son Billy. But that is great news. Quentin Tarantino is reportedly teaming up with J.J. Abrams to put together a new Star Trek movie. Am I the last person to hear about this?
No, it's brand new. Yesterday.
It broke yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised by this because when you think Star Trek, maybe you think J.J. Abrams because of Star Wars. And
because he did the first Star Trek movie, too.
Right. But Quentin Tarantino
is an odd addition. Yeah, that's a whole other look.
Right?
Yeah.
Deadline reports that the pair will be assembling a writer's room at Paramount Studios, and the rumor mill is already claiming that Quentin Tarantino might direct it.
Wow.
This is going to be easily the Star Trek movie with the most F-bombs.
I would think so, yes. But it is sort of strange to see somebody with that strong a style, like Quentin Tarantino, to do something like this that's been around for so long.
Yeah, it's kind of an oddball choice.
So that's an interesting thing. Legendary astronaut Buzz Aldrin, this story is just for Bean. Buzz Aldrin is a fashion designer now. He's got a fashion line.
What?
Buzz Aldrin has a fashion line.
Okay.
He's the second man to land on the moon during NASA's Apollo 11 mission in 1969. He's teamed up with Sprayground for the first capsule collection. The Hollywood Reporter says the 87-year-old, his collection includes a coat, a duffel.
Okay.
Gloves.
All right.
In case all of you are in the market for this type of thing. A regular backpack and a solar backpack.
She blinded me with science.
It was now with a comment.
Is the jacket and the duffel, are they all space inspired or it just has his name on it?
I believe they're space inspired, yeah. And they go from $20 to $325. So, Bean, you want anything? I could get you like the Buzz Aldrin diaper. I could get you that for Christmas if you need that.
Buzz may be wearing a diaper full time now.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't, I'm not sure we need this, but look, here's the thing I'm going to say about the great American hero that is Buzz Aldrin. And that is that at 87 years old, this dude is not slowing down at all. I give him all the credit in the world. He's still out there and he's still doing stuff and he's still trying stuff and I respect it.
Stone Temple Pilots will do their first tour with new lead singer Jeff Gutt. Very excited about this. Chip, you saw the show and he's good? Great?
He's really great. I saw them play at the Troubadour a couple weeks ago.
That's fantastic. The tour begins March 2nd in Santa Clarita and runs for 2 weeks and then ends March 17th in Billings, Montana. But they are starting to tour with their new lead singer, which is always great news for those guys.
I wish they had a little more confidence in this singer sticking around beyond a two-week tour.
Well, I mean, this is the first tour that they're
talking about. I just feel like,
about.
How about a little confidence, a little optimism?
It's possible that they're going to do more, I assume.
Okay, I hope so.
They've got such a great catalog of songs, too, that would be so good.
And such a bad track record with lead singers.
All right.
You have to keep it.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
All right, but I'm trying to say this is a positive story because STP is back and they're on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they just don't want to get too many dates on the books that they then have to cancel down the road.
All right, you're not helping. Birthdays today. Little Richard is 85. Amy Acker has a birthday today. Jessica Paré and Frankie Muniz is 32 years old. And that is the showbiz.
Later this hour, your chance to win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Tuesday Christmas 2017 to join us at the Forum this Saturday and Sunday. Plus, we'll throw in a brand new TV, a 55-inch TCL TV, which I hope you get in time to watch the Psych movie. Right?
Uh-oh.
With the tie-in?
Man, that was sweet.
Thursday night on the USA Network, it's the return of Psych. It's been gone for about 3 years. We are delighted to welcome back to the program actor and co-writer of the film, James Rodet, who joins us, I understand, from Sick Bay. What's going on, James? How you feeling, man?
Dude, I've been worse, man.
Well, thank you.
I'm not going to sit here and cry to you guys just because I feel like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal is sitting on my head. No way, man.
That's not ideal, though, if that's happening.
I know that you have been out there. You and your co-star, Dulé Hill, have been out there working very hard to get the word out that Psych is returning. So I'm sure it just kind of caught up with you after so many interviews, I bet, right?
You know, it was a lot of travel and air and time changes. Plus, I'm not the young grasshopper that I once was.
Oh, please.
So Psych was on for 8 years, which, by the way, congratulations, because I assume you never have to work another day in your life after that, but welcome back.
Well, you need to look up basic cable in the dictionary.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. Did you, in the back of your mind at any point after Psych left, after such a long, successful run, did you think you were saying goodbye to Sean Spencer, or did you, in the back of your mind, think, maybe one day we'll do this again?
You know, there was so much goodwill between the show and the studio and the network and the fans, and we felt like, you know, we were still on the level when we walked away. I'm not going to say we L-weighed it, but, you know, we didn't Fitzpatrick it either.
That's harsh.
So, you know, I think there was sort of a wink and a smile that, hey, we're not quite finished yet. We're not sure exactly what it's going to be, what the format will be. But as long as there's an appetite from the fans, which they're proved to be beyond even our own expectations, then, yeah, we'll get the band back together at some point.
I love that your fans are the psychos. And I feel like every day for the last 3 years, somebody has come up to you and said, you guys got to come back with this Psych. You got to do it again.
Yeah, we have the craziest, awesome fan base. I can't imagine a show having cooler fans than us. Because not only are they, like, crazed and, like, you know, just salacious when it comes to wanting more Psych, they're also like genuinely wonderful human beings, and when they do stop you on the street or in the airport or in a restaurant. They're so respectful and they're so enthusiastic and they're never weird and they don't ask you to sign strange body parts. They just they just truly have enthusiasm for the show and are sort of thankful for the time that we all spend together, which is humbling and makes us feel like, oh my gosh, we really do want to give you more if we can. And we'll see. We'll see how the first one lands and take it from there.
And well, Dulé Hill had mentioned this is kind of the sweet spot right now. You haven't been gone too long, but you also, I don't know, it's kind of good timing. The sweet spot.
Yeah, what is it? It's like gone long enough to be missed, but not forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get too cute with it because then it's just sad and you get excited. And then nobody watches.
Oh, this is taking a lot of turns.
It really is. This is a journey talking to James.
Yeah, it really is. No, I do think we're still in a pretty good spot. And, you know, if social media is any indication, our fans are still there for us. And
oh, sure.
This is something that they've really wanted since we went off the air. And we're so happy to be able to give it to them.
You sat down with Steve Franks and wrote this this movie. Now, when you're doing a standalone, does it give you a little bit more leeway about how crazy you can get with it because it's not a story that you're going to be buttoned into, you know, for the next week?
Yeah, you know, let's be honest. Psych didn't stay on the air for 8 years because of our storytelling prowess. Our cases, our mysteries, our plot devices weren't winning any awards. So I don't think we ever sit down and are too hard on ourselves.
Do you hate you?
James is like, our show sucked.
Come on, James.
How is it on?
It's all right, man. Everything's cool.
You know, I don't think we ever put that much pressure on ourselves when it comes to breaking a story. Anything that we do generally starts with like 10 or 12 bits that make us laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sort of reverse engineer a sort of loosely threaded narrative around those bits.
Well, you know how to sell it. People know they now have to see Psych if they haven't.
Exactly. So you know what I mean? It's like you think, oh, we have 2 hours. We have all this extra real estate. We can do all this fun, crazy stuff. And then it hits you like, oh, but wait. You know, we've been off the air for almost 4 years. We actually have an obligation to, like, catch people up, check in with each character, get everybody back up to speed, so that real estate starts getting gobbled up like pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then you find yourself just having to balance, like, okay, we want to do right by these characters, we want to do right by all of the comedy that fans have come to expect. And I think in this one particularly, what we found was, because it's been 3 years, because we've been away for a bit, you know, let's just focus on sort of the meat and potatoes that was our show, the stuff that kind of launched us, the stuff that got us that audience to begin with. And so I would say it's sort of a tribute to kind of early Psych, like classic Sean Gus Caper Psych, as opposed to some of the stuff that we were doing later in the series, which was a lot of tribute and homage and theme week. And what's our favorite movie? What's our favorite TV show? What can we wink at this week? I think it's more a return to sort of the early years that sort of, you know, helped us build the fan base to begin with.
OG Psych.
And plenty
OG
of singing.
Psych.
Yeah.
Plenty
right.
of singing, too, James. You're not afraid to belt one out.
Yeah, there's some singing in the movie. That just seems to sort of be where we land on this show. We've got a bunch of foolish people who can sort of carry a tune, so we're usually able to work that in.
Well, I want to say two things before we run out of time here about Psych, because we've been lucky enough to get a chance to see it before it airs Thursday night on the USA Network. One is, your big villain in the movie is our friend Zachary Levi, who is hilarious in this thing. And we love Zach, and I bet he was so much fun to work with.
We had a blast with Zach. We've known him for years. We've always wanted him on the show. We could never quite make it work schedule-wise. This was a beautiful, wonderful, happy sort of thing. I think it was the best role we could have possibly ever given him to play on the show. So I'm
he's
so
phenomenal.
Glad that it worked out.
He's phenomenal.
He only knows one speed, and that's full throttle. You know, he kept that accent up the entire time we were shooting. When the cameras weren't rolling, when we were back at the hotel.
Oh, that's annoying, isn't it?
Having drinks and unwinding. He never really slipped out of character, you guys.
Yeah, it's a terrible British accent, and the characters in the movie keep calling him on it too, which I think is very funny. And the other thing is, you mentioned the writing, and I want to play this clip from the episode. This is you and Dulé's character. You guys are fake private eyes, you know, fake psychic detectives, and you are showing up, and there's a man in a hospital bed and a bunch of police around you, and this will give you an idea about the kind of dialogue you'll see on Psych Thursday night. And if I would have... That is not the right button at all, but this one is.
Okay, the only thing that we know that they were able to take was Inspector Sloan's dongle.
Oh, my God. That's not what you think. It's exactly what I think, because these people are monsters and they must be stopped.
A dongle is a security device.
Sure, for some people.
You stick it into your computer.
Not my computer. Not since high school. Jules, back me up on this.
Sean, stop talking.
All right.
This particular device allows an officer to access his or her confidential San Francisco PD files. It's the only way that you can get into the system.
You knew this? Okay. All right, so this is different. What you're saying is a different thing. My bad. Please continue.
There you go. That is James Rodet from the film Psych. It airs this Thursday night at 8 on USA Network. We are so happy to have you back. I hope you feel better, James. Thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Guys, thanks for caring. Have a great, great day.
Thank you, James. Bye now.
Morrissey may or may not be there, but you
He'll
definitely
be there.
Will be.
How dare you?
I hope so. At the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017, two big shows this weekend sold out at the Forum. We've got tickets for both, plus a brand new 55-inch TCL TV. These TCL TVs, by the way, are gorgeous. Fastest growing TV brand in America, don't you know? You win it all if you're on the line right now and are ready to play Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Host, he'll be giving you a category. All you'll have to do is name five of the items in that category in just 10 seconds. If you're right, you go into the drawing and someone wins tickets to both nights of the show and the TCL TV. Who's our first contestant, please?
Let's start with Ralph in Garden Grove. Hi, Ralph.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ralph, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. Listen up. Kevin's going to give you your category. Then you have 10 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
30 Seconds to Mars is playing night one of the show. Mars is also a planet in our solar system. Ralph, in 10 seconds, name five planets in our solar system other than Mars. In 10 seconds, name five planets in our solar system other than Mars. Go.
Earth, Venus, Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus, Saturn, Neptune.
Wow. Nicely done. Even though you got Pluto, which is fake news.
Well, I didn't ding him. You notice I didn't ding him for Pluto.
Nicely done. Hold on. By the way, that's a difficult thing. That 10-second clock really puts the pressure on. Let's go to Janelle in Anaheim. Hi, Janelle.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Welcome. The Killers are playing night two of acoustic. That band is from Las Vegas, as you know. I could never live in Las Vegas because gambling and booze. So your question, Janelle, is in 10 seconds, name five casinos in Las Vegas. In 10 seconds, name five casinos in Las Vegas. Go.
MGM, Luxor, Golden Nugget, the Wynn.
You're so close. The Wynn was, but that was only four.
Four out of the five. Thank you, though, for playing.
Sorry. Okay, let's go to Sandra in El Monte. Hi, Sandra.
Hey,
guys. Judah and the Lion is playing night one. There's not an actual lion in the band, although it would be a lot cooler if there was. But most lions live in Africa. Sandra, for you, your question is, other than lions, in 10 seconds, name five other wild animals that live in Africa. Other than lions, in 10 seconds, name five other wild animals that live in Africa. Go.
Elephants, rhinos, hippos, panthers, Bengals. Bengal Tigers. Bengal Lions.
I respect it. Yeah.
You really named it football teams? Is that what you're going for there? The Lions and the Bengals.
I got to be honest. I'm not positive. So
I think you guys.
Oh, no. He did.
Okay. Yeah. All right. He is in the drawing. We are playing for both nights of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. And we're also throwing in the TCL 55-inch TV as well.
All right. Let's go to Glorianne in Anaheim. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
What a lovely name.
Yeah. Glorianne.
Oh, thank you.
Are you one of a kind? Do you know?
Actually, my mom has the same name as I do, so it's the two of us.
Yours is better.
Like
good
it.
For you both.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right. Royal Blood is a two-piece band from Brighton in the UK. There are also a lot of other rock bands from England. For you, name, not counting the Royal Blood, in 10 seconds, name five other rock bands from England. In 10 seconds, name five other rock bands from England. Go.
The Beatles, Oasis. I don't know three more. I think that's it, guys.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
I know.
What about Queen? What about Led Zeppelin?
I don't know where anyone's.
Okay.
I know.
Slash.
Sorry, Glenn.
Sex Pistols.
Right. Okay, don't rub it in. Leave her alone.
Please.
All
right. Thank you, Gloria.
That was an easy one.
You seem like a nice lady for a loser. We appreciate you calling.
Come on.
I mean, for somebody who didn't win. I don't mean she's a loser. I just mean she didn't win. Let's go to Sarah in North Hollywood. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Cold War Kids are playing night one. There aren't any actual kids in the band, although it would be a lot cooler if there were. In 10 seconds, name five people who are or were famous when they were kids, 18 or under. In 10 seconds, name five people who are or were famous when they were kids. Go.
Ron Howard. The Little Rascals. Alfonso.
Oh. He was on Silver Spoons. That would be right.
Sure.
And are we going to count the Little Rascals as more than one?
Three.
I don't think the Little Rascals get the point. I don't think that's a person's
name. Oh, man.
I was looking
for a last name on Alfonso as well, by the way, for a point
I think
there.
He's known as Alfonso.
Who's the first person you guys think of when you think of a kid star?
Justin Bieber.
I would have thought of Macaulay Culkin, but Ron Howard was a great one to start with. Ricky Schroeder, too. All right. Do we have time for one more? We're out of time.
We have time.
All right. Let's do one more contestant, get somebody else in the drawing again, and play in for both nights at K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
This is Tony Lynn from Long Beach.
Hey,
hi,
guys.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Hey. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Run the Jewels is a rap group playing night one, made up of Atlanta rapper named Killer Mike and a producer from Brooklyn named LP. The name Run the Jewels was inspired by an LL Cool J line in the song called Cheesy Rat Blues. In 10 seconds, name five other famous rappers, dead or alive. In 10 seconds, name five other famous rappers, dead or alive. Go.
Eminem, LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes, Shaquille O'Neal,
I'm so sorry.
Tupac or Biggie or Kendrick Lamar. Drake.
No, we can't give her 2 points for Shaq. That's amazing.
That was pretty hilarious.
Shaq was a great answer, Tony Lynn.
Thank you for listening anyway, Tony Lynn. So do we have it right? Is it just Sandra and Ralph?
Yes.
All right. One will win tickets to both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum, and also the brand-new 55-inch TCL TV. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Ralph.
Ralph. Yeah. Congratulations, woo! Ralph.
Thank you. I won tickets last year, too, so this is awesome.
Oh, then you need to give them to Sandra.
Right?
Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. If you want to win tickets to see that band and all the rest of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this weekend, we got a couple of different ways for you to do it. One is just be caller 20 when you hear us playing Pork and Beans by Weezer in the 9 a.m. hour. So that is coming up in the next 60 minutes. We'll play Pork and Beans by Weezer. When you hear it, be caller 20. And the other way, you can come on down and join us for the live broadcast. We're going to be at the Hollywood Park Casino this Friday morning. Show starts at 5:30. Right out of the gate, when we go on the air on Friday morning, we are going to give away our first pair of tickets to both nights to one of the people who is there at the casino.
We're going to have a bunch of tickets for on-site to give away to those
people. Yeah, and then every hour all morning long, we'll also have tickets. You can come down and be part of the live broadcast as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's at the Hollywood Park Casino this Friday morning, live Kevin and Bean. So join us, won't you?
Plus, we're going to have drink specials. What's yours, Bean?
Is it okay to share it now?
I mean, sure.
I have a favorite beverage. It's it's something that won't make you too crazy in case you have to drive home.
But crazy enough.
Yeah.
Right. It's iced tea, no lemon is me. That's the bean drink special that they have for us down there. Pace yourself, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't,
is what I'm saying.
Don't
overdo it.
Right.
Don't double fist that.
Agreed.
So, all right. We're taking turns looking at what's going on in the world of Hollywood. Earlier this morning, I brought you the list from Spotify of the most streamed artists of 2017. And I don't think it was a huge surprise that Ed Sheeran led that list. We know that little ginger is incredibly popular around the world.
He was the number one biggest artist on Spotify this year. Drake was number two, then The Weeknd, number three after that. Well, here's a new list for you. And I think this is interesting. And in a million years, you'll never guess who number one is on this list. So I won't ask you to try. But it's the most tweeted about music artists in the U.S. The music artists that are the most tweeted about. This is according to Twitter. They just released their end-of-the-year details. You want to take a guess at any of the acts that are in the top ten? Again, I don't expect you to get number one.
Smash Mouth.
You know, if it were just Chip tweeting, yeah, Smash Mouth would have been top ten. But no, they did not make the top ten most tweeted about artists of the year.
Taylor Swift's got to be there.
Not in the top
ten. You're kidding!
Not in the top ten!
I mean, that's great news, but
right.
Nickelback.
No Nickelback. Allie, another guess?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, not in the top
ten. Come on.
What about Drake?
Here's the top ten. Drake is also not on the list.
Come on!
This is it's a surprise, right? These are the 10 most tweeted about artists. Ariana Grande is number 10.
Okay.
Riri's number 9.
Okay.
Shawn Mendes.
Sure.
Justin Bieber.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Fifth Harmony. Oh, Niall okay. Horan, or Horan, I guess, whatever, from One Direction. Mm-hmm. Chance the Rapper, number 4.
Mm. Sure.
Harry Styles, number 3. Nicki Minaj, number 2.
Wow.
And you're right, by the way. Bringing up Taylor Swift, bringing up Katy Perry, bringing up Drake. It's kind of a surprise that all of these are bigger than that. Number 1 is the K-pop band BTS.
Oh,
sure.
And you know how huge they are.
Oh, my goodness.
Even in America.
Yeah.
Yep. BTS, number 1. Also on this same report from Twitter, by the way, is the 10 most retweeted tweets of 2017. Three of them are by Barack Obama. Two of them have to do with retweeting to raise money to help hurricane victims around the country. One of them is Ariana Grande, her tweet after the terrorist attack at her concert in Manchester. One of them is a Linkin Park tweet about Chester Bennington. Any ideas as you start thinking back about the year that just passed on what the most retweeted tweet of the year was? It did not involve a celebrity. It did not involve a charity.
Oh,
politician.
No, the guy that wanted his nuggets.
You are correct, Allie. Help me, please. A man needs his nugs. Was retweeted that's over 3.5 million times.
Wow.
I can't believe you came up with that.
I can't either.
I just remember thinking, this kid is getting so many retweets. When will it end? And it didn't end. It's phenomenal.
And refresh my memory on that story, because he ended up far surpassing the retweets that Wendy said that he needed, right, for the nuggets. And he got them. They gave him the nuggets, right?
Yeah.
Give him a restaurant.
Yeah. Give him a chain, right?
All right. Meghan Markle is in the news. You know, she is one of the most famous women in the world, not because of her 7 years on the TV show Suits, but because she has accepted the engagement proposal by Prince Harry. She will be part of a royal wedding in May. Now, Kevin, are you going to be okay just to watch it on TV, or are you going to feel the need to be there? Are you going to fly to Britain so you can be close to the action?
I don't really have any interest in watching
I heard you were all about the royals.
Not really. Not so much.
She's in the news for two stories today. One is a New York rhinoplasty specialist named David Cangelo says that she is now the model that ladies are coming into his office asking for her nose. She has become the I want to look like Meghan Markle lady. Apparently, the doctor says she has a narrow and well-defined bridge and tip of her nose, which is why it is so enviable and is not uncommon for people to look at celebrities and come in and describe body parts when they go to plastic surgery.
But unless the rest of your face looks like hers, how does that help?
Well, I get it, because when you see something that looks good on one person, you think, okay, I'll try that. It's those people that then go, like, okay, now do my cheekbones.
Right.
Now do my lips. Now do everything. Those people take it way too far. But if I were going to get this schnoz done, absolutely I'd bring in a picture of someone like a Cameron Diaz that has a cute little button nose. But then my face would look crazy.
But that's what Kevin is saying, though.
Big-ass face with that small nose.
Right?
Unless you've got the same kind of face as the celebrity you're modeling it after, the nose could be a disaster. It could look bad on you and good on her.
Well, sure. And that's why you would hopefully have a good enough plastic surgeon that would say, let's try this, schnoz chick.
By the way, the doctor also mentions that the other woman that is most commonly asked for in terms of nose jobs is Kate Beckinsale, who also has an adorable little nose. Here's the other story about Meghan Markle that I just found fascinating, is that one of the things that she will be doing between now and the wedding next spring is something that Kate did before she married William, something that Diana did before she married Charles, and that is get military training from the British Special Air Service on how to deal with a hostage situation.
So they call him in, like, as a negotiator?
This is in case Meghan, God forbid, ever gets kidnapped. It's training that lasts about a week. It teaches her techniques on how to transmit a distress signal that she's being held against her will if her captors make or record a video. Her training also includes mastering micro expressions and keywords and other signals to let either her family or law enforcement know if she's under duress from captors. You know, we've seen this on TV shows like Homeland, where they're looking for somebody who's blinking out
right.
the address of where they are in the video while they're shooting it or something like that. She's also going to get some basic psychology training on how to deal with her captors. She'll be taught how to get out of restraints like duct tape or zip ties. It doesn't say, it says here that it's probably not going to include combat or weapons training, however. They're not going to go that step
to get her
combat ready. But that must be a terrifying aspect to that job, to realize not only do you wake up one day and all of a sudden you're so famous and the privacy that you have taken for granted is gone, but you are now actually a serious potential threat. You know, there's a threat against you now to be kidnapped because you're worth so much money and so valuable to the government of Great Britain.
That's bizarre. You imagine anywhere you go, you're like, how many blinks was it? How many? Like, that's terrifying.
Tried to keep that in the back of your mind all training. Tuesdays are the days that
she's blinking three random letters. We can't even make it out.
Tuesdays are the days that new movies and TV shows come out on DVD or available more commonly for streaming. Just in case you missed it, Despicable Me 3 is now available if you want. American Assassin, that Taylor Kitsch movie, which I believe, Kevin, you saw in the theaters and liked very much. That is also available. And Twin Peaks, the limited event series, the one that was recently on Showtime, is also available. If you missed it the first time around, you can now catch up. Comedian Margaret Cho turns 49 years old today. Actress Jessica Pare from Mad Men, she was Mrs. Don Draper, turns 35. Paula Patton, you guys remember that name? She's 42 years old.
Comedian?
Paula Poundstone.
This was the model and actress who was married to Robin Thicke. Remember, they're awful.
Very close.
Very close. I'm going to take that as a win.
Actor and race car driver Frankie Muniz is 32 years old today and one of the architects of rock and roll. God bless Little Richard, still alive at 85. And that's this hour's Showbiz News.
What you making? Fruitcake.
There we go.
Right?
What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Best holiday song?
Pecans or walnuts?
Close.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff. Add what you feel.
You're not trying it now, right?
Butter.
Said two things and then lots of stuff.
Molasses, lots of dark rum.
That does sound like a good recipe.
Artificial color, artificial flavor. If your family don't want it, give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake. What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candied cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
I love the background singers going, green cherries?
let me just say, and I know I'm a Christmas music enthusiast, but trust me when I tell you that entire Christmas album by Fred Snyder's band The Superiorians is well worth the purchase. Fruitcake is awesome. There are several other songs that are almost as good as Fruitcake on that album.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty great. Huh. It's definitely one I would consider putting in a Christmas album rotation if you're looking for music this time of year. 9:41, Allie's turn to take a look at what's going on in the world of showbiz here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday.
Well, House of Cards is coming back, just without Kevin Spacey. Netflix announced yesterday that they're going to go ahead with the sixth and final season, which will now be all about Robin Wright. She plays Claire Underwood on the show, and there's been rumors that Kevin Spacey's character will be killed off, but no definite word has been given. The show will resume early next year.
I loved House of Cards, like many people.
I did too, and she's great on that.
She's phenomenal on it. I think I watched the first, I don't know how far they into it, like three seasons or something like that I watched it. And then I haven't gone back to it. Who's president now on House of Cards? Is she the president?
I don't think
so. No.
We don't know. Okay. I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to think the how they're going to write that in, because it does. If Kevin Spacey's still the president, and you kill him, that opens up a phenomenal amount of directions to go for the writers and whatnot. It could be a fascinating season.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I just don't know where they are. But that's cool that the show's coming back anyway. Because a lot of times there's so much fallout from the people who have nothing to do with the charges or the scandal.
Right.
You know, a lot of good people lose their job because of what one a-hole does. So at least
Let's not even forget all the people behind the scenes, the grip, the editor, all those people.
Right.
They're just sitting there doing their job. And then all of a sudden their benefits are gone, everything, because of one dude couldn't keep it in his pants. Who's with me?
I'm with you. I think we're all with you.
All right. If you guys weren't keeping track of this Netflix story with Danny Masterson yesterday, it took a lot of turns. But just to catch you up, Danny Masterson, who a lot of you might know from That 70s Show, he is on a show that has yet to come out yet on Netflix called The Ranch. But in the meantime, he has been accused of rape by four different women in the early 2000s. So police are investigating those four different women's claims. And a lot of people were thinking, well, what's happening with Netflix? They took such swift action when it came to Kevin Spacey. They got rid of him, launched the investigation, everything. But nothing seemed to be sticking with the show, The Ranch. Well, cut to a kids' soccer game where one of the coaches of the soccer game turned out to be a Netflix studio executive. And the wife of the other coach of the opposing team walked up to him and said, "Are you employed by Netflix?" And he said yes. And then she asked him basically what I just said. Why are you guys not doing anything about these Danny Masterson claims? Why are you guys just letting this go? And he said that Netflix takes sexual misconduct allegations seriously, but we don't believe them, referring to Masterson's four accusers, to which this woman said, "I'm one of those four," which is just, I can't even imagine being told that. What a slap in the face that is. So cut to a little later, the Netflix guy, his wife wound up emailing the coach of the other team, the victim's alleged victim's husband, and basically saying, "You've ruined a good man's name. Why would you do this?" Awful situation right there. And then as of this morning, actor Danny Masterson has been ousted from the Netflix show The Ranch. His last day of filming took place yesterday, and here's the quote from Netflix. "As a result of ongoing discussions, Netflix and the producers have written Danny Masterson out of The Ranch. Yesterday was his last day on the show, and production will resume in early 2018 without him." So I don't know how much of that article in the Huffington Post yesterday, how much that kind of sped this up. But wow, it was not a good time to be any of those people yesterday. Would you like some Saturday Night Live wine?
No.
No.
All right.
So offended,
okay.
Well, no.
I know it's really weird. The Daily Mail is reporting that they are selling a variety of wines, including a 2016 SNL California Red Blend, a 2016 Debbie Downer Chardonnay, and a 2016, and I'm sorry, wine people, is it a Beaujolais? Beaujolais?
I don't know how to pronounce that, but I do know that 2016 was a great year for wine.
It was a great year for wine.
But everybody knows that's how far back you go for the best.
That one will be called Stefan, which, I mean, how great was that character?
Yeah.
Prices are going to range $18 to $20 per bottle and are available at a place called Lot 18. And if that isn't enough, what about Anheuser-Busch? They're about to roll out a brand new flavor of Bud Light. This is a rumor, according to My Beer Buzz. The new Bud Light Orange will be a light lager brewed with actual orange peels and other natural citrus flavoring.
Okay.
I haven't. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Anheuser-Busch has kind of had the same thing forever.
Pretty much.
This is a departure. How exciting.
A fruity beer.
I'm saying. Good stuff. We talked about this earlier, and it still is boggling my mind, and I want to be a part of this. The newly appointed director of Italy's most famous monument, the Colosseum, wants to open it up to rock concerts by the likes of Sting and U2. She said, I want the Colosseum to return to its original function, a place frequented by ordinary people, a place where Romans can watch spectacles, to wander around as people did during the time of emperors. And Kevin brought up, where the heck are they going to play?
Because there, is there a floor?
Ish. Musicians would perform on a section of wooden boarding that covers what was once the floor of the Colosseum, where sand soaked up the blood of fallen gladiators and wild animals that were slaughtered in elaborately staged hunts.
And they know how to sell it.
Wow!
They've mopped or something since then, no, right?
I think they
mopped up the sand, Bean.
I just want to make sure they picked up a little bit
before they cleaned up a little bit, I think. Okay. Yeah. Like, remember when you were a kid in elementary school and someone puked and they just put sand over it?
Sure.
Very similar. That happened at other schools, right? Not just mine?
It didn't happen at mine.
Really?
No.
Oh, Mr. Bill, the custodian, would just put sand down if a kid puked in the hallway.
That's not the way to handle that.
Mr. Bill's not doing his job.
Oh, he was great. Yeah. All right. One band that will not be performing, though, at the Coliseum is Led Zeppelin. Because Robert Plant wants all of you to get a life. Stop.
He has had it with people insisting that he get back together with his band, hasn't
absolutely
he?
Absolutely had it. Stop asking him for a reunion.
I don't blame him, by the way.
I mean, he's moved on. He's had, you know, his solo albums for how long?
Yeah, very successful career for 30 years as a solo artist, doing a different kind of music. He doesn't want to do it. Stop asking.
Yeah, here's his quote. All these magazines and internet platforms should be supporting new music and help new musicians to find an audience instead of dwelling on the old crap all the time. It's like there's nothing new and exciting out there anymore, when in fact there is. So stop living in the past. Open your eyes. Is that not difficult?
I agree with every word Mr. Plant is saying. Having said that, I would pay all the money in the world if
ever
he just get back together.
Ever. Amen.
If you just please.
Just do
please
it.
Come on, Robert. Well, stop asking if you do it once more. Right?
I mean,
no.
I don't know. You know the appetite for these bands. You know the number one festival of 2017 was that Old Cello, we called it. That one in the desert with all the classic rock.
We called
hits
it that once, Bean, and then we were called
then we
it
were
that
told we were, not to call it that again.
That's right. Then we were told that it was actually called a desert trip or
yes
whatever. But how much money could Led Zeppelin get if they agreed? They'd get the three surviving members and get Dave Grohl or somebody on drums or Jason Bonham or whoever would do it. They'd get $1 billion if they wanted to tour the world,
don't
right?
Don't you get the idea that he has all the money he needs?
He probably doesn't.
It's not
need
about
it
that anymore. To
not
him
about that. And I think, honestly, and he's made reference to this in the past, that he can't sing those songs like that anymore. I mean, he's 70-something years old, right? I don't know that he can sing like that, like he mm-hmm did as a 20-year-old.
Hmm.
And maybe he's doing us a favor by saying, I don't want to go out there and croak along, you know?
He came back and it was just awful.
Just awful, yeah.
Why did we want this?
People start leaving like after a couple songs.
Oh, it's just sad. Why did they put us through this?
That is terrible. Well, happy birthday to all of these people born today, December the 5th. Little Richard is 85 years old. Actress Amy Acker is 41. Jessica Parra is 37. And Frankie Muniz is 32 today. I'm Allie McKay with your showbiz news.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen tomorrow morning, a brand new Kevin and Bean show, a brand new internet roundup on the show. We're going to play you the top callers of the year. These are people who called our show, and we love them so much that we banked them so that we could come back and look at them. So you have the top callers of the year tomorrow morning. We have comedian actor Rhys Darby, who we love so much. And again, we have both nights for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and that 55-inch TCL TV. By the way, just for the record, we haven't played Pork and Beans by Weezer yet, and we will in the next 9 minutes. So when you hear that, be caller 20, and you'll win tickets to both nights as well. We'll see you tomorrow morning.